Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us now in this College Football Insiders Coaches Corner on All Access Football Radio is head man Bill Stewart. I'm your host, Daniel Moglione. Coach Stewart is 10-4 as head man at West Virginia, including impressive bowl wins over the Bob Stoops-led Oklahoma team and North Carolina last season in a thrilling victory over Butch Davis and company. Coach, how are you and how are things in Morgantown?
Well, it's going really well, Daniel. Thank you so much for having us on and your interest in Mountaineer football. We had our meeting last night. At 6 o'clock we met, made sure they're all back and safe and sound. Classes began after a week's furlough. We had spring break, so that was always nice for these lads to get out and enjoy themselves. And now we had a lifting this morning, as normal, and we're going to lift on Mondays and Thursdays, generally, and we're going to practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. So we'll meet today at 4 for a very short meeting, and then we'll practice tomorrow and Wednesday, and then we'll lift again on Thursday and practice Friday and Saturday, and that'll conclude week number one. So we're excited about spring practice. It's a great time, and the sun's out in Morgantown. How about that?
I think it might be creeping out in New York, too, so that's a good thing. Spring is definitely upon us.
That's right. The spring's here. Let's hope it's to stay.
So this is the eve of spring football at West Virginia in Morgantown. What are your goals for the spring other than staying healthy, of course?
Well, that is first and foremost to stay healthy. And we want to have fun, but we work really, really hard. We had something all winter. You know, phase one is the winter conditioning. It's tough. We call it another level. We run a 6 a.m. workout. Some people call it fourth quarter. Some people call it whatever. But we call it another level. We have to take our game, elevate our game to another level. So we've been doing that. We had 8 6 a.m. workouts, 4 weeks, 2 a week. Then we lifted very, very hard, very strenuous lifting, much running, much agility, much stretching, did yoga. It was really great. That's phase one. Now phase two is coming in. That's spring ball. And that's a fun phase where you get to work on your skills, hone up your game, try to improve the squad for next year, and you know, try to start formulating the plan and try new things, new wrinkles. So that's what we're excited about now. But what we're going to do, first and foremost, offensively, we need to get better. On third downs, although we weren't as bad as people think, statistically we just lost some key situations in a couple of games. But we need to improve our third down offensively. And by that I'm talking about our short yardage package. I want to really hone in on that. I still want to push the ball vertically down the field, number two. So we want to, because we think we have a strong arm quarterback coming back in Jarrett Bowen. So we want to really push that ball vertically down the field. We really want to try to do that. And then we want to take advantage of all of our skill. We need to spread the wealth. With Patrick White gone, number three, we need to spread the wealth. So number one, we improve short yardage. Number two, push the ball vertically down the field. Number three, spread the wealth since Pat's departure of graduation. That's offensively. Defensively, Daniel, we need to get off the field. We were not good. We were number one team in America last year in the red zone. You know, keeping people out of the end zone and scoring defense, but we're not good with our time of possession getting off the field. So first and foremost, I'm going to really stress three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. We're going to hammer that, pound that in our guys' head, three and out, because we have to get off the field. Offensively, we averaged 53 snaps a game last year. We should be in the 60s. So that's part of that's the defense. Offensively, we didn't maybe have some drives, but defense, you got to get off the field and give us the ball. So we really need to stress that. We also need to do some get a better blitz package. And when you get a better blitz package, number three then, that means you have to be able to play man-to-man coverage better. So on defense, again, I'll go back and say we've got to get three and out, get off the field, develop a more consistent, more fun fire zone blitz package, that kind of thing. And number three, improve our man coverage. We have some good guys that can do it. We have some guys that aren't great at it. So we all got to get great at it so we can blitz more. That's our forte. And kicking, we just need to replace Pat McAfee. That's the only goal I have. I'm the kicking coach. How do you replace the guy that did all this guy's done? And, you know, our kickoff coverage. We're number two in the nation on punt, Daniel, as people know. And we were 117 out of 119 on kickoff. And I'm the guy coaching both of them. So I should get a raise. And probably should get knocked on the head for the other one. You know what I mean?
I hear that, Coach, and that's a great outline of what you guys are planning on this spring. I think you hit pretty much every note. Let me ask you, how important is this spring specifically to Jared Brown, both as a passer and in terms of him taking over that leadership role after basically four seasons of almost nothing but winning under Pat White?
He is up against it. It's his ball. It's his job to lose. He's earned that right. I coached him here for 3 years before I became the head coach. All he's ever done when he's going in is won. Every game he's ever started for Patrick White, he's won. Now, he's watched a lot of games for 3 years watching Patrick play. You know, really 4 years. But who knew Pat was going to be that good 4 years ago when Jarrett came? I compliment him for staying. I compliment him for persevering. He is not Patrick White. He's a different player than Patrick White. But he's a good leader. He leads in his own way. So this is going to be a big spring for him.
All right, Coach, let's shift gears a little bit and get to what I jokingly am going to call the soap opera part of this segment now. According to reports on the pro day, I wasn't there, but you told teams, you know, Pat White would be a quarterback, so teams didn't ask him to run routes. Then Pat White said he didn't run routes because he wasn't asked to run routes. Like I said, I wasn't there. You tell me what happened that day.
Pat White's a quarterback. Patrick White's a quarterback, and that's what he's going to be, and He was pitching and catching and was worked out and did a good job, and I didn't want him to pull anything, do anything. If someone wants him to run routes, they can come on here and work him out. All I know is he's probably going to be a second or third round pick, and to those people who don't think he can play quarterback, I just hope he never plays against them, because he will beat them. That's so far for not. I run this ship here in Morgantown. I had one guy come up to me and say they may look at him as their third quarterback. I looked over at him and I wanted to say, have you seen your first and second quarterback play? But that's not my role to do. You know, they've got their job, I've got my job. And my job is to protect my players. We've had the Denver Broncos came in here and worked Patrick out, and he ran routes for them after he threw. And we had the New England Patriots come in here and work Patrick. He ran routes for them after he threw. But I'm not going to get that kid throwing and running and doing all these drills and stuff and then exhaust himself or hurt himself out there trying to be a receiver when he is a quarterback. I'll say it again. People that don't think he's a quarterback, I hope you never have to play against him as a quarterback because he will beat you. That's the end of the story.
So my next question was going to be, what's your take on the whole Pat White debate? I guess your take is there is no debate.
All these guys that sit in these TV booths, and there's a lot of great guys, me and my friends, but we've got certain experts keep saying, well, he ought to be, he's a receiver. They've never been on the sideline, seen the fire in his eyes, and I guess as long as they don't have to ever play against him and lose, then they'll never have to be accountable. They can sit up there and spout off all they want. I'm telling you, the guy's a quarterback. He's the greatest winner in college football today, and there's some NFL teams out there that agree with me. We'll see when the draft comes.
So let me ask you this. Tell us a little bit about his intangibles, his leadership skills. I think because he's not that demonstrative and he's kind of quiet, that gets overlooked a little bit.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I don't know about NFL locker rooms. I know some NFL coaches really, really well, have worked with NFL coaches, and I know they win because they have great locker rooms. First and foremost, before the guy even goes to the field, he will always be a positive influence in the locker room.
All right, folks.
Secondly, he will always be a positive influence in your community. And thirdly, he will be a great role model in society because he's a powerful man of faith. Now, with all what's going on in the world today, why someone wouldn't want this guy in your locker room as a quarterback, receiver, as a whatever? I don't get it. I don't get it. But again, all I can tell you is what he did for us. He's the greatest winner in my 37 years of coaching I've ever been around. I told him down at the Senior Bowl, here's the only guy that's won four college football games. He's MVP in three of them. His buddy Slayton beat him out in the Sugar Bowl against Georgia.
Right.
He goes to the Senior Bowl. They elect him captain. He leads that team to victory and is MVP. So he's a five-time bowl winner. Four of those is MVP of the bowl.
That That's impressive stuff, Coach. There's no doubt about it.
And my point is, you pick your best 11 and the quarterback you want. Give me the second best 10 you got in this All-Star team. I'll put Pat White the quarterback, and we'll beat you 9 out of 10 times.
Well, that's
the only thing I can tell an NFL coach. And the guys that know the game, the guys that know the intangibles, the guys, the NFL coaches that are successful. Now, if you want a 700-page playbook and all this stuff and all, all I know is he'll go. He doesn't have to start. He can be a backup. He can get in the slot. He can catch the ball. He's a center fielder, first baseman. He hit almost 500 in high school. My God, eye-hands coordination. If people want to see what this kid to run routes, we got commentators on our side. Well, he should run routes. His stock's going down. Baloney. Let them commentate. Let him play. I hope they're an NFL coach someday, these experts, because when he plays against them, he'll beat them.
That's as high as praise as you can get. A quarterback's job is to get his team in the W column, and Pat White has done that for 4 years there. Folks, you're listening to All Access Football Radio. This is a Coach's Corner with head man Bill Stewart from West Virginia. Coach, let me pick your brain for a second before we let you go on some of the guys on opposing teams that you faced. You had Kenny Britt go for 151 yards. You guys did a great job on Donald Brown, holding him to a season low 182. LeSean McCoy ran for 183 yards. And, of course, Hakeem Hicks had his memorable game against you guys with 217 yards and three touchdowns. I can bring those up because you guys did go 3-1 in those games. So, but who was the most impressive guy that you guys faced this year from your perspective?
Oh, my gosh. I got so many. You talk about Kenny Britt and Mike Teal and those kids. Those are great. That Kenny Britt, I just love to watch. I didn't like playing against him. Man, he can play, and he's going to have a great future. Donald Brown, what can you say about that guy? Jeez, oh, man, Shady McCoy, holy cow. You talk about great backs. I mean, they are great backs. And Hakeem Hicks, you know what I told the defense at halftime? You want to hear some great coaching, Daniel? I'm at halftime in Charlotte. I walk in. I never say much to defense. I looked up and said, boys, I'll tell you one thing. Now, this is some great coaching, Daniel. I said, fellas, that number 88 out there, I said, oh, Hakeem Nix, you don't have one guy, two guy, or probably even three guys in covering together. They all looked at me and I said, good luck. No. I mean, you just got to keep that. That's what I'm saying. We got to get them off the field somehow. Then offensively, we need to spread out well, stay out there on third down. And that makes us a better football team. Daniel, it's all about intangibles. You've got the great ones are always going to take it to you, the Brits, the Browns, the McCoys, the Knicks. And, Matt Grossi, I just love watching him play. I don't like playing against him. My God, the kid just wins. And there's so many great players. Tony Pike in the Big East. There's just so many great players that scare us tremendously. I mean, I have such great respect for these people. And you look at Dan Hawkins' kid, the quarterback out of Colorado. Well, that kid. I mean, I'm already thinking about him. There's so many great players we're going to play this year that it's scary. And that's why we have to step our game up. And we have to take better control of the ball and stay on the field offense and get off the field defensively and then try to just play field position, because we're not there yet either. We're going to be a young football team. We're going to be very, very young. We're not nearly there. I think 2010, 2011, 2012 is going to be very exciting for West Virginia. But, Daniel, I'm telling you the God's truth. I'm worried about 2009 simply because of how many youthful positions we'll have, or youthful spots in key positions, if that makes sense.
Okay. And I believe you guys play Cody Hawkins and the Colorado Buffaloes at home on Thursday this year, so that should definitely be an exciting game. And now, Coach, before we let you go, I'm going to ask you to look back one more time and go a little even further back. In 1995, you gave a kid named Mike Tomlin his first job in the coaching business at the Virginia Military Institute. I know it's a few years ago, but what do you remember of your first impressions of meeting that now Super Bowl winning head coach?
Well, I played against him in 94. I had a lot of warm heart in my spot for William and Mary because I coached there in 81-2-3. Michael was the senior captain with Sean Knight on that 94 William Mary team that went to the playoffs. I was building the VMI program that first year. All I saw was a class young man catch balls, block like Hines Ward, play with such tenacity that just he's just so tough and so dependable and just had fun. I watched him on film up to a game, after a game, and I thought, man, I told the players, I said, should just play like this guy. I just wanted to play, you know. So lo and behold, I got wind that he may want to go into coaching or law school. I called Jimmy Lakoff, my old boss. I said, let me talk to him. Tell me about him. He said, Billy's everything you saw. I went down. I said, come on, visit me. He came up. I talked to him out of law school for a year, and his mother about killed me, God bless her. She hugged me today for it, but she about killed me. I said, come on up here at VMI and coach for us. And I said, you're going to be a coach. First meeting I come down there, you know, spring or the fall, he said, well, he's 23 years old now. He just played against these guys.
Sure.
Mine for 4 years. He said, Coach, do I meet in there with Coach Sherman, our quarterback? I said, no. No, Michael, you have your own room, right? He goes, that's great. Never. All I did was pat him on the backside, and I said, make him play like you did. Let me tell you, I'd walk by that meeting. Never had to poke my head and never wanted to because I wanted to give him that security. That guy coached exactly then as he does right now, a ball of fire, enthusiastic, knew what he was talking about. In 95, it's the best our receivers played at the Virginia Military Institute when Michael was coaching them. We beat some good teams that year. We beat San Martigliano in a big upset at Liberty. We beat some really good teams. But Michael Tomlin was one of the reasons for that, and I will forever be grateful. And you know what? I told Hans Ward one day after practice at camp, I said, and a bunch of those guys said, if he had your guys beat, he'd still be playing you or be coaching. That's how good a player Michael Tomlin was. He was a tremendous competitor, and that's why Mike Tomlin is successful at the Steelers. It's a great fit for the greatest organization in football, and it's just a great marriage. But that's why Mike Tomlin is who he is. He's just been that way since he was just a young fella, and I'm just so lucky to be a part of his life. That's all. I gave a guy a job, and the rest is history. He just went on, and shoot, I didn't do anything. Just proud to know him. Just very proud to know him. Honored to be one of his friends.
All right, Coach. Thanks a lot for giving us some time on this morning, the eve of West Virginia spring football, and we'd be happy to have you on again anytime. Stay healthy.
Daniel, thank you so much. It's a wonderful opportunity to be with you today. Thanks for all you're doing for college football. God bless.